Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Every morning, Darren Armstrong talks Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for July 24th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing well. I'm excited to talk about Big Brother 23. I really thought that after watching Big Brother Canada 9 that I was like, okay, this is what I like. This is what I enjoy. Lots of messy players, but at least not one person is steamrolling the game. And while there are definitely different levels of players in this game, I think we're having sort of a similar but reverse situation where we're having a lot of people who are playing and a lot of people who are in charge, but they're not as messy necessarily. So we're getting to see what it's like to have several pretty good players in the house. And it's been a while since we've had that. So it's been fun.
Yes, it has been fun. What has not been fun is my connection at times. I apologize if there's any glitching. I'm seeing some stuff in the chat. But we are here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 23 live feeds. It was day 17 in the house, and it was quite a day here, Mary.
It was. I know that we're kind of still in debate over whether or not kind of putting off some of the conversations after a Thursday night onto Friday is a good thing or a bad thing. It makes Thursdays a little bit slower, but boy, do we get a lot of conversations on Fridays then.
Yeah, a lot to talk about for sure as we run through the day here. Looking at my camera stream here.
I know, you look a little bit like you're filming with a potato, but it's okay.
Yeah, it would have been great if StreamYard had told me that that's what I look. On my screen, I look amazing.
Okay.
So, yeah.
It's just a new filter you're trying out.
Yeah, I'm really trying to smooth out the wrinkles here. Let's talk about everything that happened yesterday. So Xavier is our HOH. We're going to get a wild card competition. We're going to get nominations, and we're going to get the plan for the week. The last time we heard from Xavier, he was thinking of Brent and Whitney as his potential nominees, but he still needed to figure out exactly what he wanted to say to them to explain why they were going to be the nominees. So that's what we come in to today looking at. But we started the day with Tiffany and Kyland, who are going to talk about a final two. Now, we heard from Tiffany the day before that she was, when she was talking to the cameras, like, hey, I want to solidify a final two with Kyland. But we had not seen it actually go through yet.
Yes. So we finally have this conversation where they're both going to be seeming pretty on board. I think that this is kind of more so a base covering situation rather than 100% locked in. Like, I think both of them say that they wouldn't be mad about whatever result happens if they got down to the final two chairs together and that they have each other's backs. But I think they both know that they have several options.
And yes.
Okay. Your video's gone. I can't tell if you still can hear me or not.
I may have to just try and leave this and come back. So we'll see. But they're talking about their final two. They're trying to name their final two as well. They still have not come up with a name, unfortunately.
Yeah, no names. People in the house have been a little bit hesitant, I think, to completely name alliances this season. There's been some names, but the reason that there haven't been as many names, I think, is because and Taryn's back. Okay. I think that potentially a hunch for why maybe everybody hasn't been so on board with naming alliances is that almost all of the fake alliances do have names. And I think that it's almost an element of like, well, we don't want to name it just to make it appear like it's a real alliance. Sometimes if we just know that we have each other's back, then that works. I mean, you're even seeing that a little bit with the cookout, which has a name, but that they don't usually use the name a whole lot.
All right. I think we're good. So I apologize.
It looks much better now.
Yeah. I just needed to reset the connection, I guess. All right. Tiffany says there are many reasons why she would want to sit next to Kylan in the final two. She thinks it would be a great final two and it would be a hard decision for the jury. He says that he would be honored to have a final two with her. And so, boom, final two between Tiffany and Kylan. How real is it for either of them? We don't know for sure, but it's definitely a very interesting final two as two of the players who are probably two of the strongest and most influential players in the game right now. So we'll see.
I think it's also two players, though, who kind of are clocking the fact that they're both pretty good. And that's why I'm saying, like, I wouldn't 100% get sold on this, because I think both of them are using it more to cover their bases rather than to be like, this is my ride or die. I think both of them are smart enough to know that they could go in a different direction if that happened.
Mm-hmm. We're also going to hear from Big D and Azza. Big D would like to have a cookout meeting. But Azza, she has an objection. She doesn't want Hannah there. She doesn't think that Hannah is a true member of the cookout. She doesn't even know the name. So let's exclude Hannah because Azza, for some reason, believes that Hannah is the person that has like outed some women's alliance and is one of the reasons why, I don't know, maybe Brent is running around saying she thinks that that Hannah is the person that has told Brent about this women's alliance, even though Brent has been very clear to most people that he's making it up.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird to keep track of who knows that the Women's Alliance is like a fake thing that people are putting around versus which people are using it to state blame. Like, there's going to be a lot of stuff about Brittany having been the one to start the Women's Alliance, which most people know isn't real, but they're still using it as a fake pitch as well. And so it's a little bit all over the place. This whole Hannah kind of not being in the cookout thing is a little bit baffling to me in terms of like who wants her in versus who doesn't. A Big D and Azza both seem to be slightly more on the outs of the cookout, just in terms of not the cookout alliance as much, but the fact that the rest of the people in the cookout seem to have a little bit more of their long-term game plan kind of locked in together. And so it's interesting that those are the two who feel like they don't want Hannah there.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel like I've said this before. I think I'll say it again. I'm pretty sure that Hannah is probably the most loyal person to the cookout, despite not even knowing the name and being excluded by multiple members. And like seems to be the most dedicated toward their ultimate goal, which kind of makes me sad that she's being excluded so much.
Yes. And I think that we've had Claire mention a couple times that Hannah's a little bit on her own and that would be a potential person to pull into a different group. And I wish that Azza and Big D would sort of open their eyes up to that possibility, too. If they realize their position a little bit more, I don't think that they would be as quick to single her out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Big D says a woman needs to leave. So Maybe
you would think that maybe Big D would realize that maybe the people in the house who keep spouting that mantra are not necessarily doing as well in the face of the other women, at least.
Well, the thing is that what Big D is experiencing is that he can say whatever he wants and nobody will care because nobody really thinks that he'll do anything in the game.
Yeah, it's funny that he talks a bit about wanting to throw competitions now, but then wanting to turn it on later after some of the bigger threats are gone. But then also keeps saying like exactly what his plans would be if he won. But everyone's like, but you already said you're not going to win. So what's the point?
Yeah. Xavier is going to talk with Derek and he is going to ask Derek to play in the wildcard competition. And the reason is that, for the aces, only Derek and Whitney are eligible to play in the wildcard competition at this point. So if Whitney plays in the wildcard competition, she may win it, which would be bad for Xavier because then she might be safe. And she's one of the people that he may need to nominate. And in addition to that, if she wins it, she could accidentally end up saving Brent. In the first wildcard competition, they spun a wheel, and if it landed on three, it would have protected the entire team, wouldn't have had any choice. So he doesn't trust Whitney to throw it, and he doesn't want Whitney to win it. So he needs Derek X to play and intentionally throw the competition so that it prevents the aces from having any protection whatsoever. Derek X says, I'll do my best.
Yeah, and this is something else that is going to factor in quite a bit more, maybe, than people might think, is this Derek X wanting to play but then throw competitions. This was something going into this week for the HOH that Derek X also didn't want to win the HOH to accidentally protect Brent and Whitney, or not accidentally, but that would be part of the result of him winning and protecting his team. And so he's in that same kind of position here. And this is something that people are going to pick up on of why Derek wants to play, but then clearly kind of throws it later.
Mm-hmm. So Hannah and Whitney are going to talk some. They're going to bond a bit more. Ever since they sort of discovered that they both hate Brent, they've really been bonding. In fact, they even have like a conversation where they're like, I see you were always joking with him. I thought you liked, no, I hated it the whole time. And like, oh man, I can't believe we both hated Brent for so long and we never knew it. They also talk about wanting to take a shot at Alyssa. That has been Hannah's goal for a while. She has gotten Whitney on board with it. Whitney also feels a bit wary of Claire. She mentions that she had given Claire some information in week one that she thought had gotten out. And so she's always felt a little bit wary of her. But Hannah vouches for Claire, saying that she really trusts Tiffany. Tiffany's like family and Tiffany has Claire. So with that in mind, she feels good about Claire. They in general feel good about the aces and the queens working together, of course, minus Brent, which is great for Whitney. She should probably let the queens know that.
Yes, because while the queens are in a really great spot here of both the kings and the aces wanting to work with them, the queens are kind of off on their own, thinking a lot more about the people as individuals and about who would be good to work with versus not. But if there's a lot of talk about who should be working together and less so the people actually meeting up and saying that. And this is something we had with Derek X the first couple week of people saying like, oh, we like him, we should pull him in, but it taking a really long time to actually go and tell him that. So hopefully this happens eventually. I'm going to say that it's Whitney really needs to get on this about telling people that she likes them, because she's starting to being looked at as more and more of a target as well.
Mm-hmm. We then get a conversation between Claire and Tiffany talking about winning the HOH next week, potentially, and targeting Whitney. They're going to talk more about that later in the night, though. Big D is going to talk with Brittany about, again, wanting to go after a woman next week. She encourages him to go after Alyssa and Whitney, but he says, what about Hannah?
Yeah, and Brittany says that he could potentially go after Hannah and Whitney and use that as an excuse since they're both teammates, and saying that they need to put both Hannah and Whitney up at the same time to not protect each other. Brittany is going to tell Big D that she trusts Tiffany and Claire, though. So similar to how she was just vouching earlier with Whitney. And but she, even though or as Hannah was saying the same thing to Tiffany and to Whitney earlier about Tiffany and Claire, Brittany seems to not really care too much about who leaves over like Alyssa, Hannah, or Whitney. But because of some of the work that had been put down in the last couple of days, there's still this idea that Alyssa is a big threat and target just because she's so protected. And that, you know, we had that conversation about like, who could you even put Alyssa up next to and have her leave? So that, that idea is definitely floating around, particularly with a lot of the women.
So we're basically going to then head into the wild card competition. There's nothing too big before then. And in the wild card competition, some things are going to happen. We come back from the wild card competition. Tiffany wins the wild card competition. It was Tiffany, Derek X, and Brittany competing. Now, when the feeds come back, Brittany, Azza, and Big D are all pissed. And that's because plain as day for everyone to see, Derek X and Tiffany colluded against Brittany in order for Brittany to lose and for Tiffany to win. Now the logic behind this, of course, is that you know, obviously Tiffany, knowing that Derek X is going to throw this competition, if she wants to win it, she's going to go after Brittany. And Derek X obviously wants Brittany to be available in the pool of eligible nominees, as he knows that that's one of the options and it's what Xavier would want. So they end up sort of working together against Brittany, but Brittany was able to tell that that was happening and was very upset about it. She felt like she could have won the competition if that hadn't happened. And they are very upset.
Yeah, and I know that a lot of the conversations about this are going to be sprinkled throughout the day, but the main point is here that Azza in particular is going to be very upset with both Tiffany and Derek for doing this and going to confront them a couple different times about why they were doing this. From Azza's perspective, she thinks that Tiffany and Brittany should have teamed up to make sure that Derek X doesn't win it, because if she's under the impression that the target is Brent, and as is the rest of the house, then Derek should definitely not win, which is true. But I think the thing that she's not getting there is that Derek X and Tiffany are locked in together, and that they had already pre-agreed and that Tiffany trusted Derek to throw it so that he wouldn't win. So it's two kind of perspectives where either way, it doesn't seem like too many people are exactly upset that Tiffany won. It's more so the way that she went about it. I mean, I think Azza in particular would have been more happy if Brittany had won. And it seems like Brittany would have potentially had a chance to win had they not teamed up against her.
Yeah, and you know, we'll talk about it later, but it is ultimately explained to Azza, and she, I think, was less upset about the reasoning and more upset about the outcome, which is that Tiffany won and that Brittany lost. And that essentially that she was left out of the loop about it.
I mean, I really feel for Brittany during this whole situation as well, because the conflict here is that some people, well, we'll talk about it, but Xavier and some other people don't necessarily have the same idea of who they want to be the pawn, but that Brittany is on the table and needs to have that option open. But it's really hard once you're put in the position of being a pawn to get out of being a continual pawn. And that's why I feel so bad for Brittany.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's what we talked about. It's what we have talked about where, you know, Brittany recognized that this might happen and she was upset about it. And she was like, I don't want this to happen. And people were like, okay. But at the end of the day, you got to do more than hoping and wishing that it might not happen, right? And it unfortunately for Brittany is not going to play out that way. And Azza is also upset that it's happening. Also saying, I don't want this to happen, but again, can't really do anything to stop it from happening because they don't have any power or influence in the game.
And that's really the crux of it, right? Like just not wanting to be the pawn. can only get you so far. Asking people to not make you as a pawn, you need to show people that they don't want to use you as a pawn. And Kylan kind of spelled this out last week of saying, Brittany, you're the only person in the house that I'm not aligned with, and you're not giving me anything. I mean, he didn't tell her that. He told the audience that and the rest of the house that. And that's the truth of the matter. And Xavier's in a similar situation, plus some other reasons. But yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know if there's a whole lot that Brittany can do at this point to change that now. But I mean, going into this week, she would have had to work really, really hard to somehow prove to other people in the house that she shouldn't be the pawn. And she just didn't do that as much.
Yeah. And I mean, it is what Kylan said. Like, and Kylan even, I think, said this basically to Brittany, which was like, other people have more to offer, essentially. And I think that's an important point here, especially as we go through the rest of the day, because the mistake that I think, or at least one of the mistakes that Brittany and Azza are making here, is that they are focusing very heavily on themselves and their own perspective. And they are not thinking about Tiffany's perspective, Derek X's perspective, or Xavier's perspective. And when they're saying, we don't want this to happen, we don't like this happening to us, they're focusing on, don't do this to us. And they're giving reasons why it shouldn't happen to them that are like, I feel bad about this. It will be upsetting to have to go through a vote. I feel bad for Brittany. I don't want this to happen to Brittany. It's all about themselves. And they're not thinking about Xavier's position. They're not thinking about, what can I give as a reason why it makes sense for Xavier to do this? What reason can I give that, hey, Xavier, this is actually better for your game if you do this because of X, Y, and Z. And here's what I can offer you if you go along with this. They're mostly focused on, please don't do this to us. We don't want it to happen. And it's not a very effective argument in the game of Big Brother.
It all comes down to being able to read what the other people want. And I think it's easy to say, like, the difference between being an emotional versus a strategic player, because I don't think those are mutually exclusive things. But you have Azza and Brittany, who are looking at this from a much more emotional perspective, because they're the ones being put in a emotional trying situation of being a pawn and being on the outs. And then you have a lot of people in the game, like Claire and Xavier and Kylan and Tiffany are a group of them, but there's also more, who say things constantly like, oh, I wish people would just look at this like a game, and I wish they would see that, you know, logically, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that those players are not at all emotionally charged by ideas. I think it's just, for them, they're not the ones being put in the emotional situation. And so they're looking at it from a much more sort of logical, this works for me, X, Y, Z kind of way. And so those two things are clashing, and you need really, really good players to be in Azza and Brittany's situation and recognize where the other people are coming from. And also, I think that this is a little bit of a downside for Xavier and Kylan and some of these other players who aren't explaining the emotional side of this, or like comforting in the same way as well, to Brittany. Like, you have to be able to do both to really lock that in. It's not as important right now because we're not at the jury stage, but certainly once you get there, you need to be able to make people feel better about that if they're in the emotional position.
Yeah, it's interesting, and I don't mean to go off on too much of a tangent because we have a lot to talk about. But
yeah,
it was
sorry.
Very,
it's
a very interesting thing, because it's something that I've seen in the fan base as well over the course of the day, that people seem to have gotten very divided over this conflict between essentially Tiffany and Azza, Xavier, Azza, you know, Azza and Brittany versus Tiffany, Xavier. And maybe Derek X to some degree, but I think we'll talk about that a little bit later. And I think that there are people that really relate to that sort of like Azza, Brittany feeling attacked, feeling emotional, wanting to defend your friend side of things. And then there are people that are like very, you know, logic focused, and they're like, but this makes sense. This is the right thing. And why aren't they listening to the logic? And so like, there are people that are really frustrated with Azza. There are people that are really frustrated with Tiffany for not like being empathetic to Azza. I think, you know, know, for myself, at the end of the day, I think that, you know, as we go through this, I want to be clear that I don't think I place any value judgment on either response. I think that, you know, having an emotional response to anything is your own purview. But we will try to talk about like what is good for their game, what is a smart decision. And I will say personally, I think all around, Azza, Brittany, Xavier to some degree, Tiffany to a bigger degree, all made mistakes yesterday, some bigger than others because some people are in better positions than others and have set themselves up better than others. But the one person that I think handled this the best, and we'll talk about that, I think was actually Derek X, who had the right combination of logic and empathy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just to wrap up this point, like that's really the key here, is that it's really easy to blame Brittany and Azza for not doing as much because they're in the worst power position at this moment. But I think that if you're just looking at like who could have the best game, who could play the best overall, it's people who have a really easy time switching between emotional and strategic and basically just whatever the person they're talking to, what they know that they need in that time, and being able to convey that differently when you have every single conversation and they sort of have a different version of themselves in every conversation. Those are the really, really great players. And it's easier to just say, well, I'm empowered now, so I'm just going to stick with what works for me and makes sense for me at this moment, when you might realize like it's not working for everybody. But anyway, that's sort of more big abstract Big yes. Brother discussion in general. Got a lot to talk about.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
I need to go.
Hang on.
It is our time.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. So Xavier is going to talk with Brent very quickly after the wildcard competition ends. And Brent is going to pitch this whole target the females plan. He talks about going after Brittany, gives Xavier the whole spiel about Azza and the floater thing and all of that. I don't know if this is what gave Xavier the idea, if he had already been thinking it, but a light bulb goes off in Xavier's mind. He talks to Derek X next and he says, I figured out what to do. I want to put Brittany next to Brent and continue the narrative for Brent that Brittany is the target. I'm using him as the pawn to help prevent Brittany from winning the veto. And so I can essentially act like, oh, Brent, you convinced me to go after Brittany. But here's the caveat. You have to go up as a pawn next to her in order to compete and beat her in the veto and all of that. And an additional side effect of this plan is that he's not telling Derek X about is that it helps prevent the spotlight from being on Azza if he focuses more on Brittany. He doesn't like that Brent is bringing up Azza. And if he says, okay, Brent and Brittany, then Brent will focus all of his attention on Brittany and the attention will not be on Azza. The problem is that Azza disagrees with that tactic. So that's the new plan. Yes. Brent and Brittany on the block. If the veto is used, Whitney will go up.
Do you think that if Brent had come in and for some reason, instead of saying Brittany and Azza's names, or maybe in addition to them, also said Whitney, that Xavier might have thought a little bit more about using Whitney, or do you think he really wanted to use Britney all along and then kind of jumped on this excuse?
Well, so the thing is that he really, every time he mentions one, like nominating Britney, he says, I really don't want to. But this was what makes the most sense. And he initially was thinking Brent and Whitney. And when Tiffany gave him the option the night before, Whitney, Britney, he was like, I think Whitney. So it does seem like he actually personally was leaning toward Whitney. But then he felt like, you know, it made more sense, the narrative, to do Britney, especially to help protect Azza. But I think that he should have done Britney from the start. Personally, I think that, you know, I think that he has the potential to work on a relationship with Whitney. Now, Whitney, in talking with Hannah, did mention that, she doesn't fully trust Xavier. She actually would trust Christian over Xavier, especially if Alyssa's gone. But that's because he hasn't really worked on a game relationship with her. He doesn't really talk much game with her. But I think that he could, because there's a foundation there. And if he leaves her off the block, then it leaves that possibility open. Whereas if he puts Whitney on the block, then I don't think he'll ever be able to work that back. Whereas Brittany, as we've talked about, doesn't have much power in the game, doesn't have many options. And if she wants to hold a grudge to every person that put her on the block, she's probably going to start stacking a list up longer than Arya Stark. So, you know, it's the right move, I think, to put Brittany up here.
I agree. I think it's the tricky part is the fact that some people still want to target Whitney potentially as early as this week instead of Brent. And it kind of depends where Xavier is going to come down on that line. I think he's still fully on the Brent side of things there. I just always wonder how much these like fake plans in order to keep the person calm matter as much. I think they probably matter just in terms of having a line that you can go back to and sort of like play, what's the term when you have like a reason to get out of something, like
an excuse?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a phrase I'm looking for, but I can't think of it right now. Anyway, sure. But like having an excuse.
Ask Frenchie. He's probably got a farm one for you.
I think plausible deniability was what I was looking for. Okay. Like he sort of has that by saying, oh, but Brent threw out these names and whatever. Whereas I feel like Brent's not, Brent is still probably going to think that he's the target here. So I don't know. It's not like Brent is not necessarily someone who's like, oh, yeah, totally understand. I'll go up as the fake pawn in order to play in the veto. Like, if you needed me in the veto, you don't need to guarantee it. But, oh, well, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think a lot of people are like, this plan is kind of strange. Like, why are we bothering with all of this? But I like it because it might lead to a halfway blindside. And also there's value in not letting a person know the full truth. Even if he suspects the truth, he doesn't know the full truth. And so he has to guess, and we'll see after the nominations that his guesses are wildly wrong. And so that prevents him from catching any kind of footing and when it comes to an anti, you know, Xavier campaign or a pro Brent campaign, keeping them as much in the dark as possible by providing them with a false narrative, and also by providing the rest of the house to go along, like a narrative for the rest of the house to go along with, keeps the rest of the house all on the same page, working together toward a common goal, which is to all give Brent this fake story, which helps unify them and again keep them separated from Brent and on board with the plan, and everything goes a bit more smoothly. So I get the idea that, like, is it necessary? No, but it does probably provide some extra percentage points in terms of success.
It's an interesting thought argument, because on Survivor it's so easy to say, well, we had to blindside you because there could be idols or powers or whatever. That's much less likely in Big Brother, but people still always bring up the why didn't you just tell me, why did you have to lie or whatever. And I think it's arguing for, well, because if I just put you on the block, you would have so many days, if I told you the truth, to try and use that truth to spin something against me. And that's what you're saying.
Well, and also I think it's the recruitment of the entire house to go along with this, because yes, if it does ever blow up for some reason, it's not just I, Xavier, decided that Brent, you are too much of a threat and the whole house wants it to happen too. But I'm doing it. Then the whole house gets to talk to Brent and explain, well, this is why, and I'm sorry, and so on and so forth. But if Brent ever figures out, right now, Brent thinks Xavier's making this move and he's going rogue. But when he learns the truth that the whole house is not only in on it and wanted it to happen, but they have been lying to him this whole time. Now that blame is much more evenly spread than just Xavier. And I think that is valuable as well. So, yeah. Okay. So, that's the plan. Derek loves it. Tiffany's going to talk with Brittany, and apologize. She said, I'm sorry, but, Xavier told me that you were safe this week and that we needed to keep Brent calm. Because, you know, Brent is essentially trying to go after, you know, you. And so there's this whole narrative and that's why I did it. And I'm sorry. Brittany tells Big D about what Tiffany said. And he's like, okay, we'll see. We'll see. But that's Tiffany's explanation to Brittany. She's then going to go to Sarah Beth and they say that they need to come up with, Sarah Beth, I think came up with this plan, but it's what Tiffany kind of wants as well, which is, okay, can we get Xavier to put up Whitney instead of Brittany? Because they're already pissed at us. And we would rather have one person, Whitney, pissed at us than three people, the Jokers, pissed at us. And so that's Tiffany and Sarah Beth's new sort of goal here.
Yeah, which for Tiffany and Sarah Beth is great, because if they want to target Whitney and Brent and don't necessarily care about the order, or if Brent is already such a big house target, talked about this in the last couple of days, Whitney would be sort of the more like blindside sneak attack. Let's get her out now. And then Brent's still a house target for next week, which makes sense for them. Whereas if you get Brent out now and you want Whitney out next, so many things could happen next week. We don't know who's going to be HOH. Fewer people would want to put Whitney up, etc. So I like this plan for them. It feels a little bit like last ditchy after Xavier has already come up with his plan. It's not that you can't change people's minds, but I think you have to weigh at some point, how close am I personally, meaning Tiffany or Sarah Beth, to Xavier? What kind of risk is it at any point for me to try and pitch something other than what he already wants? Is that going to put a target on my back? Is that going to seem like I'm trying to control their HOH? I think that that's like a really fine line, and particular people can get their plan across. We saw Tiffany pretty much get almost everything she wanted last week to Kylan. But I think every time you do that, you're going to expend a little bit of your own sort of strategic worth and social play. So I like that they're thinking this, but I think that it's asking a lot to pitch this idea.
Yeah. And, you know, just to, for the sake of getting through this update, Sarah Beth pitches it to Xavier. He's not having it. He wants to go through with his own plan. Then Tiffany is going to talk with Azza very briefly. She approaches Azza. She's like, hey, you know, like Brittany is safe. You know, we don't need to worry about Brittany. Okay. It's like, why are you upset? I'm not upset. Okay. All right. Then goes talk to Xavier, tells him about the idea of maybe not putting up Brittany to avoid further pissing the Jokers off, particularly Azza, who just cold shouldered her. Xavier again is kind of like, I've got my plan. Azza then talks to Xavier and he's like, hey, how you doing? She's like, fine, happy. He's like, okay, well, here's what I'm thinking. I kind of want to put Brittany on the block. Oh, no, I'm not fine. Never mind. I do not want Brittany on the block.
No, even going to pitch a couple times to put her up instead.
Yes. She says, no, put me on the block instead. I do not want Brittany on the block. I would rather go home this week than you put Brittany on the block. I'll take that. I'll go home. I'll be fine with my life. Maybe my job will hire me back. I won't lose my job. Everything will be okay. Just don't put Brittany on the block, Xavier. And he's like, okay, I hear that, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to put you on the block. He says, okay, look, Are you more loyal? Like, is the cookout your priority? Like, who are you? What is your priority in this game? Is the cookout your priority in this game? She's absolutely like, so you're more loyal to the cookout than Brittany. Yeah, for sure. So shouldn't we want to protect ourselves? I'm doing this for you to keep the focus on Brittany and keep you off the block. And she says, no, I know what I'm here for. And I would rather go up on the block and go home this week than you put Brittany on the block. And he says, that doesn't seem to line up exactly, but okay. And this is probably the crux of the conflict between these two points of view. And it was definitely frustrating to listen to. And this conversation really goes nowhere.
Yeah. It really goes nowhere. I understand where Oz is coming from. I understand that she was probably the number one person comforting Brittany last week being on the block and doesn't want her to have to go through that again. If Azza feels like she's safe with the cookout, she feels like, well, if I'm safe with them, it's okay if I go up. Whereas Xavier's position is, I want to do everything to 100% guarantee the cookout is safe so they don't go on the block. And they're kind of both saying the same thing, that they trust the cookout and want the cookout to go far, but they're looking at it from a different perspective. I want the cookout to be all on the same page, and they're just not all the time.
Yeah. So what I will say again here is that, game wise, this is, not great. Not great in a lot of different ways. Obviously, being willing to go up on the block, being willing to go home for an ally that, quite frankly, is not nearly as loyal to you as you are to her, as we'll quickly find out. Not the best game wise. And I think I'm also seeing that Azza does have difficulty coming up with logical campaigns. Again, she's focusing on how she feels and why she doesn't want to feel that way, but she is not coming up with any reason why Xavier should listen to her or do what she wants, because she's not considering him or his feelings or his desires in any way. And so she's saying, you know, well, why aren't you, if you're so loyal to the cookout, why aren't you nominating two people from a team with no cookout members? He's like, I'm not nominating any cookout members. Like, what do you mean? This conversation goes very poorly, and ultimately I think has a double negative effect on Azza's game, in that, a lot of people both in the cookout and outside of the cookout now feel like Azza is, an emotional player, as they describe her, and they can't really work very well with her. And in addition to that, even when they do want to keep Azza in the game because of the cookout, what this has done is further incentivize them to take Brittany out of the game as soon as possible, because Azza is too focused on protecting Brittany. And so because of that, they actually want Brittany out more.
Yeah, it's funny because I think if you had asked me like week one, which team would I think would be like sticking together the most and being loyal to the team just because they're a team, sort of, I would not have pegged Azza as being a person particularly loyal to that group of people. But it's hasn't gone that way. So not great. I don't expect Azza's stock to rise this week.
No. Tiffany is going to talk to the cameras briefly here. She's upset that people are mad at her right now. She says she hates that. That's her weakness. It makes her very uncomfortable when people are mad at her. She's proud of her 13 alliances. She's running out of people in the house, and she's happy with her final two. And I was interested to hear this because I'm very curious about how genuine Tiffany is about wanting to go to the end with Kylan. She sounds very genuine when she talks to Kylan about, hey, we can get there and, you know, it'll be a tough choice for the jury. But I don't know if she is super genuine about that. I still don't particularly know. My guess is that even if she was genuine about it right now, by the time it got to that point, might be a different story. But I do think she fully intends to work very deep into the game with Kylan, in the same way that Kylan intends to work, at least very deep, to the end with Tiffany. So, these two working together is quite the powerful duo. As long as, Azza doesn't get in the way of it, as we'll quickly find out.
Yeah, I think of this as like a functional final two. Like, I think there could be a lot of benefits to finding a person who also has great gameplay, is someone that you can bounce ideas off of and be pretty open strategically with, but not necessarily someone that you would, for either party, have like a super easy time beating in the end. And also somebody who you kind of know both people are a little bit, if they're good enough players to be self-interested and maybe jump out of that final two at some point. But they would have probably a really easy time getting through the game and getting close to the end together. So it's a good functional pair. I would be happy with either one of them doing well, so I'm down with it.
Mm-hmm. So Xavier is going to talk with Brittany. He lets her know about the plan. She doesn't want to be on the block. And again, pretty much all of her arguments are focused around, like, I don't want to have to live through the vote again. I don't want to have to do all this and all that. It would make me feel more comfortable if the veto was used on me. But again, no sense of, like, what would that do for Xavier's game? Like, why would he use the veto on you other than to make you feel more comfortable? Because then he has to put up another person and piss another person off. And there's really no consideration to that, right? Not great here.
He is pretty honest with her of saying, like, I'll consider it, but I'm not going to promise anything.
Yes.
And I, if I were her, I would take from that, I'll consider it if you give me a good argument. Go come up with a good argument. Not just, I'll consider it, come back to me, maybe my opinion will change based on how you feel. So she needs to get that part into her mind.
So nothing is going to change here, of course. Xavier is then going to talk with Brent. And this is another very awkward conversation.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So I was thinking about what you were saying, and I think you're right. I think I'm going to head in that direction. But how would you feel about competing for me? What do you mean? Like in the veto, competing for you, like you choose me for the veto, more like as a nominee. I'm not okay with that, actually.
He had tried to set this up earlier when he had talked to Brent the first time, being like, yeah, I really want you to compete in the veto. I think we would compete really well together. I don't want to put a target on us, though, if I picked you. And so now he's like circling back to that, being like, hey, remember when I said I wanted you to compete? But I can't pick you, though. So what about as a nominee? Because, you know, we really need to make sure that Brittany doesn't win the veto.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't want to ruin our trust or anything. Yeah, that would ruin our trust, actually.
Yeah,
Xavier.
Yeah.
Ah, man. Totally. Yeah, that's unfortunate. Like,
our relationship would not be the same going forward.
Would not be the same. I mean, it would almost be like you're declaring war, and like my whole team would be pissed at you. And yeah, it just doesn't seem like I'm not pawn material.
Love the phrase pawn material. I hope more people use that. That's hilarious. I'm just not pawn material. And I love this idea that Brent has, that his whole team has his back and would be so mad when let's check his team. Yeah, they all are down with this plan. So
they all hate him the most.
they all want him gone. It's really kind of adorable. Just that idea. I would love to have the kind of confidence that Brent has it in that group of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Xavier's like, okay, I get that. And Brent's like, so are you thinking of, you're thinking doing this? Yeah, I'm thinking about it. Yeah. That's pretty much it. So
seats go down.
Yeah. Brent and Brittany are nominated for eviction. Brent's going to talk with Xavier again. He says, this makes no sense. Logistically, this makes no sense. Again, I'm not of a pawn caliber, in this game. I am highly intelligent and I can see that I am not a pawn.
I think there's this, like, issue we have with the idea that, okay, a pawn and a goat are not the same thing. Like, a pawn does not necessarily equal somebody who is unintelligent or would just be okay going on the block. A lot of times pawns still don't want to go up, you know. A pawn does not mean that you can't be potentially good at competitions. A pawn, just the idea of it, is somebody who isn't going home and is just sitting there next to the target. Now, Brent is correct in the fact that he is not a pawn and that he is the target, but it's not like a pawn is not an archetype where it needs to be a particular person,
I think in general, a pawn is like, if you use somebody as a pawn, the message you're sending is that this person is expendable.
Yes.
And they probably lack power in the game to retaliate against me.
Which is Brent, actually, yeah, though.
But he doesn't know it.
But right. But like, I think Brent is looking at it as like, oh, a pawn is like a weak player, mm-hmm, who's not good at competition. It, like, he's putting this sort of, it's a slight difference, I guess.
Mm-hmm. He's gonna go to his team, and this is where I can start to just kind of like summarize some of what's going on here. Brent's team is going to be, Brent, they acted shocked. They talked about it ahead of time, and they're going to continue to act shocked. And yeah, we're with you. And yeah, you're not pawn material. Like, Hannah, I think, is really funny with these things, because she's always asking, like, so she asked Xavier, so should I be surprised when it happens? He was like, yes, I think that would be good. So she's like, okay, I'm going to act surprised. So she acted surprised. And then when she talked to Brent, he was like, I'm not pawn material. I know I'm the target. And she's like, okay, well, should I continue to pretend like I don't know that you're the target? So like, she's asking Brent if she should think that he's the pawn, because she's faking to Brent that she fake thinks that she's on his side. And then so it's fun. So,
I actually like that a lot from Hannah. This idea of like wanting to make someone feel like they're so with them that they would fake a particular thing. I love that.
It's also like, it's a lot easier for her to continue to like mingle in the house if she gets to pretend that she thinks that he's not the target, essentially. Yes. Like, because one of the things that they're talking about is, okay, we can't really be seen with the Kings or Xavier anymore, because
we're supposed to be mad at them.
Yeah, we're supposed to be upset about this. So it'd be great if they could pretend that they're not upset about it, because they're pretending that. Yeah.
There are two other people not on Brent's team, but Alyssa and Christian both separately had asked Xavier whether or not, Alyssa had asked if she could not act shocked because she doesn't want the house to think that she's acting shocked in order to stay on Brent's good side. She wants to be like, no, I'm not with Brent.
Which I like.
And I'm going to. Yeah, I like that from her. I thought it was really funny that Christian asked the exact reverse. He asked if he was allowed to pretend to be shocked. I just think it's funny that they're on different sides of that kind of mindset. Like, I appreciate where Alyssa's coming from of like, I need to burn the Brent ship and sail away from it and let everybody know that.
I did like that. And I actually had that written down to talk about, but then she didn't really end up doing it.
But I liked the idea.
Right? Yeah, I did too. So that's the ace. That's the ace's response there. And you know, they talked to Xavier about it, and again, they're like, we're supposed to be mad at you. So, and Brent's going to talk with, you know, people like Highland and the Queens, and he's going to be like, hey, you know, Mafia. And when he talks to Alyssa, he's like, hey, Radicals, and our final trick or treat. You know, everyone is pretending that he's got them, and he's like, I know I'm a pawn, but I have an army behind me. And, you know, all of this stuff. So everyone is playing Brent, and he gets to continue to live in his fantasy world for a little longer.
Which is funny, because if I was Brent for just like a second and I thought, okay, I know I'm not a pawn. I'm not pawn caliber. I'm not pawn material. So I therefore must be the target. Okay, check. He's actually got the right idea here. Here's where he starts to decline in my mind. I would then need to think for Brent. If Xavier thinks that I am the target and he is putting me up as the target, that must mean that Xavier thinks he can get me out and potentially get me out against Brittany. So I, as Brent, need to think, who does Xavier think he has that could get me out? So if Brent thinks that he actually does have this mafia aces and queens thing, then he's wrong. Like, he needs to realize that maybe that's not actually true.
The problem is that the first time he runs into his knowledge versus somebody else's knowledge, he's always going to choose his own knowledge.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So like Xavier's trying to tell me that I'm a pawn, but I'm highly intelligent. I recognize that I'm not a pawn. So now, do I have the numbers to stay? I think I do. He might think he does, but he's wrong and I'm right, because I'm highly intelligent. So,
yes, that's his brain got halfway there.
Yeah.
He tried.
So, let's see here. Xavier talks to Azza. He says, I'm sorry, I couldn't put you up. She says she understands and she's sorry. She's all good now. You know, Azza, I think, you know, basically she does her best to pretend. She talks about this a lot. She wears her emotions on her face. She talked about it with Big D. He was like, you can't do that. And she's like, I know, I have a trouble with it. So she tries very hard. I think this is one of those moments. She's going to talk with Tiffany. Big D tried to set this conversation up, and it's not a great one. She says, I would like to know, Tiffany, why you went for Brittany in that competition. And Tiffany says, if Brittany won, then you or Big D could have ended up on the block. You would have been people that were options to go up on the block. And I didn't want that to happen. I was trying to keep her as in the pool of nominees so that you didn't have to be in that pool of nominees. And Azza says, I don't want that to happen. I would have preferred to go on the block. And Tiffany says, I didn't want that to happen. I don't want you on the block. Like, that's not how I play this game. And Azza says, well, I think that we play this game very differently. Okay. Again, not a great conversation from either of them, but from Tiffany, specifically, who I think, you know, Tiffany has more power in this game. She is, you know, she's in a much better position. She is, the player that I would expect to try harder to do damage control here. And I think that her genuine frustration with Azza, seeped through, and, she was again, kind of like, why can't you understand the logic of what I'm doing? It was nothing against you, because genuinely it wasn't. Like, Tiffany was trying to protect Azza. Tiffany was doing this for Azza, and Azza's pissed at her for it. And she's like, how could you be mad at me for doing something for you? Don't you understand? And from Azza's perspective, she's like, you don't know. Like, you thought you were doing something for me, but you don't understand me, Mom. Like it almost felt like a parent child argument, where it's like, you think you're doing this for me, but you don't understand what I want. I wanted to be on the block over Brittany, and like, you're being condescending, assuming you know what I want. Wasn't great here.
Not great. Tiffany's like, it doesn't, for you to be one of my people, one of my numbers, then I need to keep you in this game, whether you want to be here or not. And I do wish that Tiffany was able to change her way of talking to Azza, to like read what Azza wants from her. But yeah, they do recognize that they would have handled the situation differently and come at it, talked about it differently. I just wish that then you could like take it that next step farther of, okay, if we would have handled this differently, we need to handle this differently, but we're not.
Yeah.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Asa is also going to talk to Kylan about this. It similarly doesn't go great, not as explosively as, with Tiffany, but, he also is not going to really handle the Asa explanation very well. And by the end of this day, we'll talk about it. She doesn't feel great about either of them. Big D is going to talk with Xavier, and he says that Big D just constantly goes up to people and he's like, so here's what I'm going to, here's who I'm going to target. He's like, I'm going to take a shot at Claire, Alyssa, Sarah Beth, or Whitney. What do you think? And Xavier's like, sure. Everybody that's not in the cookout needs to go. So,
yeah, but again, he's also saying that he's like not going to win competition. Why throw out the name? I think because he hasn't experienced any blowback from doing this.
That's what I mean. Like, Xavier doesn't even bother to say anything to this because he's like, are you really going to do anything though? And Big D's also like, and if I win this veto, I'm going to have to use it on Brittany. So,
yeah.
And Xavier's like, sure.
He says
say whatever you want.
He says that, and then he also follows it up with like, we need to start thinking about like, if we're going to be pro cookout, then we have to be okay with taking shots at each other's teams to get the non cookout members out. But also I'm pro my team. So I need to keep Brittany in, take her off with the veto. I don't know. Big D is just a big question mark for me. He's big question mark.
Yeah. Big Q.
Big Q. There's, okay.
Alyssa and Christian are gonna start they've been getting closer. They heard from the mighty Frenchie that there's supposed to be a showmance, and they finally decided, you know what, Frenchie's right. They are finally going to consummate their relationship with some makeout sessions on Xavier's bed.
Why do we have to use that term? I mean, yeah, okay. Oh, but don't worry. They put a blanket over them, so nobody will know what they're doing. Wait, real quick. They're on Xavier's bed in the HOH room. Unless you're actively trying to hide it from the cameras, which you would think if you, for whatever reason, want to be in a showmance, maybe you would not want to hide that from the cameras. Having the blanket over you, if you are going to try and like act like you're not making out, that's just like another thing you've got to like remove and hide, you know? Whereas if they were like just kissing without the blanket, maybe they could just like scooch away and act like they were talking.
Yeah,
the
just
blanket
like,
means like 100% we are kissing.
Yeah, just like go into the bathroom and just pretend you were talking if somebody comes in. Or even just like sit around the corner, and if you hear the door start to open, go, whoop. You know, much easier.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so, but that's fine. They don't get that far before Xavier walks in and catches them anyway.
Xavier's not super surprised. It's awkward.
Nobody.
they're going to talk about it later. They're going to joke around about it. They're going to, you know, all get under the covers and be weird, but, you know, it's fine.
Yeah, I liked when Xavier says that their sneak levels suck. It made me think of like, they got like -5 stealth.
Yeah.
Stealth rolls here.
They're just both crouched on the bed because they're in sneak mode, but they're trying to make out.
That's really bad. Yeah, she's like, oh, I thought we were being so slick when we were hiding our cuddling. And Xavier's like, I'm not an idiot. What do you think I was doing? I saw, come on.
I feel like this happens in real life a lot too, that people vastly overestimate their ability to hide like sexual activity in general.
Yeah. Luckily I'm an adult now and don't have to deal with that as much.
Yeah.
trying to
shout out to college.
Hide. Yeah, shout out to college. Yeah, so let's see. Derek F is gonna talk to Tiffany a little bit about people outside the cookout having to go at some point.
He wants to go after Claire.
Yeah, yeah. This is again just so funny. Like, he just feels so comfortable telling literally anybody any idea of who he wants to go after.
I think in his mind he's testing them.
Probably.
And they're passing the test because, again, it's like you talk a big game all the time, Big T. Like, what are you ever going to do?
Like, I was going to say that Derek is like really lucky that he has this cookout alliance. But also, I think for pretty much everyone in the cookout, they're like, hey, Derek gets far with us. It's good for us looking at our endgame prospects. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's fine with him going after Claire because, again, why even bother?
Yeah.
Azza talks to Big D, and this is what I was referring to before. She thinks that she is very skeptical right now of Kyland and Tiffany. She thinks that they are both working with Derek X and Claire. So what she wants to do is target Derek X and Claire and see just how loyal they really are to the cookout. Big D is like, I hear that. Let's stay loyal to the cookout. Let's not target Kyland and Tiffany. And she says, well, if they were staying loyal to the cookout, then the team with no cookout members would be on the block right now.
Yeah, which me wanting Hannah to be in the cookout so bad, this is like hurts because I looked at them. I'm like, wait, but cookout everywhere. But no, poor Hannah. I also feel like this is, while she probably thinks of this as like this would be like a strategic test. It's not. It's an emotional test. It's saying I'm in the cookout, Derek's in the cookout, and they're targeting Brittany, which hurts us. So we need to target people who are in their team/alliances. In order to like make them feel emotional pain like we are having to go through. It has nothing to do with strategically thinking that that's a good idea, really. Like, if she was saying they're close and in order to make them closer with us, we need to get out their other allies, which I think is like a bonus side effect of this. But I think she's coming at it from a much more emotional, I want to hurt them emotionally kind of way.
Mm-hmm. And I will say again, valid emotional response. The strategic response I take issue with. I would like for Azza to, instead of focusing on how she feels about the situation that she's in, which is basically that, like, at the end of the day, the problem is that she lacks power that Tiffany and Kyland have. And the reason she lacks that power is because she has not put in the same work that they have. She has not been out there socializing. She has not made enough bonds. She has not been, strategizing and working on other people. She has been focusing on the people on her team, Brittany and Big D. And before that, Frenchie. And we've been talking about that for weeks now, and that she needs to get out there. She needs to be socializing more. She needs to be doing more. And now she's finding herself in a spot where she's powerless to stop something she doesn't want to happen. And the reason is because she wasn't doing that work. And instead of saying, okay, I need to buckle down and start doing that work, she is focusing on how she feels in the moment, which is perfectly fine to do if you're outside of this game and you don't care about, making something happen. But if she wants to actually make something happen, she needs to focus on what can I do strategically and socially to get into a better position so I'm not powerless to stop this in the future. And that's what I would like to see from her.
She like wants to have her cake and eat it too. She wants to have her cookout alliance and also have everyone else in the cookout alliance only have the cookout alliance and be in the same position. And I think that's where she's not realizing that she's recognizing that like Kyland and Tiffany have these other alliances and Xavier, but she's not happy with the fact that she doesn't, but she's doing nothing to change that.
Mm-hmm. So, Derek and Hannah are going to talk and bond some more. They're going to watch some of the players on the HOH screen and talk about them and talk about who they think would target who. They both agree that, Tiffany is playing a good game. And they're happy that she's with them. Derek says he doesn't really know, if he can win next week, because he doesn't think that he could take the shot at the Kings, at Alyssa, who they've been talking about going after. That's their idea of what they want to do. They think that they would love for Whitney to win because they think Whitney would take the shot, and they think the Queens would also take the shot. And that's where they're mistaken, because we're going to quickly find out the Queens are looking in a different direction.
Yes. So depending on which side you're on, you want different people to win, obviously. This is like why I'm really liking this season, though, because I don't know what I want to happen. I'd be okay trying to see lots of different ideas pan out, because I like this from Derek and Hannah, and I like this idea. But I also like the conversation the Queen's going to have. So I like both.
Yeah. Oz is going to talk to Derek about the wild card situation. And this again, you know, I think that the unfortunate thing is here when it comes to Azza, and I've criticized how Tiffany Kyland and Xavier have handled Azza. But at the end of the day, there's only so much that you can do. You know, I don't think that any of them handled her particularly well, but at the end of the day, she's not getting what she wants. And unless she gets what she wants, it's not, there's no way that you can fully handle it well, right? However, I think that Derek X did it the best, because of just the approach that that he has here. He is a lot more empathetic to her feelings and speaks to her more softly. He explains it. He says, look, I'm really sorry about this, but, you know, selfishly, I wanted Brittany to lose that competition because I wanted her to still be an option as a nominee, because I didn't want, you know, myself or anybody else, to be an option, to be a nominee. You know, I did throw it to Tiffany because I didn't want to win it, because I wanted to make sure Brent wasn't safe. And so she's trying to understand, like, why did you try to win? Why did you try to beat Brittany? But then, you said you were trying to throw it. And he's like, so basically I was trying to make sure Brittany lost and then I could lose and I could throw it to Tiffany, and then Tiffany winning was fine. She's like, why I don't understand why you why would Tiffany go after Brittany? If we wanted you to lose. And he's like, okay, so, and he's like, he's doing his best here. He's like, so basically Tiffany knows that I'm going to throw the competition. So it doesn't make sense for Tiffany to target me in the competition, because I'm already going to lose. Her only competition in that competition is Brittany. So she should go after Brittany if she wants to win, because I'm throwing it to whoever of them is going to end up beating the other person. So it makes no sense for her to come after me in that competition. She's like, I still don't understand why she would do that. And he tries to explain again. And she says, I guess I just see it differently. That's not what I would have done. He's like, I understand. And he gets that. And, you know, it's again, like, he can't fully break through to her and make her just go like, okay, that makes sense. I agree now with what happened. But I think she comes away from this conversation feeling a lot better than she did talking to the other people.
And I think the major disconnect here about why she's not getting his particular logic point of view is, and it's kind of the same with Tiffany, but so Derek X is not in the cookout. And if Azza's thinking, okay, the idea is that we just want to make sure that cookout people don't go up, according to what Tiffany's saying, then she doesn't understand why Derek would not try to win for himself, or why Tiffany, basically she's not getting why Tiffany and Derek X are working together. And the key is there because they're working together. And that's sort of the thing. So the reason that Tiffany trusted that Derek would throw it to her, the reason that Derek was comfortable not winning and having Tiffany win, is because they're working together. And so if she latched onto that point, and I think she kind of gets it, because she is going to say that she thinks that they might be tight. And I think part of that's because of this conversation. But if she understood that up front, then the whole thing makes a lot more sense. If Derek doesn't care about winning, just wants to make sure that Brittany doesn't win, then it's okay that he would throw it. But she's not getting like why he would be okay doing that and having Tiffany win. So that's part of it. But certainly, like you're saying, his sort of just manner of handling the conversation, the way he's speaking, makes sense. But I think that disconnect is sort of Azza like partially getting on board with the logic of like, okay, if Tiffany's saying that she's trying to protect me and trying to protect Derek F and it's, you know, cookout related and all that, then that part makes sense. But the part that's not making sense is then why would Derek not be the target? And it's because of that one little missing link of like, because Tiffany and Derek are close too.
Right. But I think what Derek is trying to explain that even without that missing link, it, like, you don't need that missing link. Like, even if they aren't close, everyone knew that Derek was throwing the competition. So it makes no sense to target Derek in that competition, you know, in any way.
Yeah. And I think it's sort of there of like, thinking Derek's throwing the competition, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have a care about who wins it.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
And I think that like Oz is saying, well, if you're throwing it, why do you care that Tiffany wins? You're like, well, because I don't want Brittany to win either. And he has good reason to not want Brittany to win if he wants Brittany to be the target over him. So, or people on his team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. You just have to like, it's much easier for us to look at all of these things since we're not the people involved in them. But.
Mm-hmm. So as far as I know, even though I do think that Derek X probably handled this conversation the best, again, at the end of the day, it's not like it was a breakthrough conversation. And as far as I know, Aza is still potentially looking at Derek X as somebody to put up now, and that Brittany is looking at that as well. And of course, Derek F. Big D has always been talking about it. So it's very unfortunate. I hope that this is just sort of a blip on the radar, because their developing relationship, Derek X and Aza, was something that was very valuable to both of them, and it would be a big loss to both of their games if it was sort of halted, especially over this, which really, you know, is nothing. shouldn't really impact their game in a negative way moving forward, at least from my perspective. So we are also going to see, and of course, you know, the Brittany conversation, she's going to talk with Xavier about, you know, like, can we get somebody else on the block? Can we get Derek X on the block? Can we get Aza on the block? Aza volunteered to be on the block. Can we maybe use the veto and get her up here if necessary? She would like for it to not happen. She says, if I win the veto, could you please not put Aza or Derek Big D on the block? But really anybody but me at this point. Okay, this is what I forgot to do. She talked to Aza prior to the nominations, and Aza was like, I tried to volunteer, and she was like, you can go back and talk to him, like, right before noms, and you can convince him to put you up on the block instead of me, and stuff like that, which I appreciate. I love that Brittany is hustling to get herself off the block, especially in comparison to Aza, who is hustling to try and get herself on the block. But I think it especially sort of highlights, you know, the fault in trying to get yourself on the block for somebody that would prefer that you go on the block. So after this conversation with Derek and Aza, we're going to see Tiffany and Claire talk about what they want to do moving forward. They have been told by Alyssa that Whitney told Alyssa about Mafia. And they are pretty annoyed about that. They're like, well, thank God we told the Kings about Mafia, because if Whitney had done so and we hadn't, then that would have been very bad for us. So we really don't like this Whitney. She's always causing problems for us. And they think that they want to stick with the Kings. Eventually the Kings will have to be dismantled, but not quite yet. They want to take the shot at Whitney. But Tiffany doesn't really feel like she can win next week, because who would she put up next to Whitney? She doesn't really have many options. So she's not sure she would want to win. She thinks maybe that she can get, you know, maybe somebody else can win and take that shot at Whitney.
Yeah. So I'm curious to know, do you think that this idea of targeting Whitney is really the best thing for them, for Claire and Tiffany?
I don't, primarily because I think that all they really need to do, both Whitney and them, is like sit down and have one good conversation with Whitney, because Whitney's priorities are somewhat aligned with theirs. But at the same time, like, really anybody at this point is not the worst. The weird part here is that at this point in the game, Azza, Brittany, and Big D, the Jokers, are probably the biggest obstacle to a Queen's victory. Now, they're also a great secret weapon because two of those people are in the cookout. But I do think that especially after the events of the day, and they will talk about this, getting Brittany out should be a top priority. Brittany should go before Whitney at this point because they need to take away one of those people from the Jokers. And then they need to worry about Azza and Big D. What would happen with their jury votes? Potentially, this is talked about. What would happen with them potentially trying to throw a wrench in what they're doing? I actually got a little bit of a vibe of like, you know, especially with Kyland being very heavily influenced by Derek from season 16, like a little bit of a Team America vibe here, where you know, Kyland and Tiffany are running the show, and they're working with Azza and Big D in the Cookout Alliance, but Azza and Big D are like really annoyed with how it's being run, and they're like probably going to try to put a stop to Tiffany and Kylan's plans, but they're like linked together by this other force essentially to kind of stop them from going after each other full. It's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, I think I'm wondering if the potential end of the team structure would help this, because if the team concept in the game goes away, I think several of the people in the teams will still try to stick together as teams, basically, but they don't have to worry as much about the like protection part of that. Which isn't beneficial for the queens because they're really doing a great job. I think a lot of the reason that they have bonded together is because of the time that they've been protected as a group. But I think that if the teams can dissolve in game, it's easier to go after Brittany and not make it seem like such a personal attack against Azza or Derek. I feel like that would be good for them. I agree about the targeting thing. I'm just wondering if they're going to be able to get away with that without, like, I think you get rid of Brittany and Azza and Derek are like even more upset than just the fact that she's being used as a pawn. And I don't know if there's any, as Brent said, I don't know if that relationship will be able to kind of stand that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm looking at like specifically for Tiffany and Kyland, the next three people to go for them ideally would probably be Brittany, and then yeah, if you can take out Whitney with no blood, that'd be okay. And they've also been talking a lot about Alyssa, and taking Alyssa out would be pretty good for them as well. So if they were able to get those three out of the game, you know, you can sub in Christian for Alyssa. I actually wouldn't mind that. I actually probably would say I would prefer they take the shot at Christian over Alyssa. I think that Christian's more dangerous than her, in the sense that he's more, he's again, potentially a competition threat. And the fact that everybody wants to target Alyssa and doesn't want to target Christian is because Christian has better social relationships with some people, and is actually, I think, the bigger threat, even though I think Alyssa is a smarter and potentially better player than Christian in terms of her intentional actions. So they are both threatening. I think you have to get one of them out for sure. But I would say target Christian personally, although I think targeting Alyssa is not a bad call either, because you do have to worry about if Christian goes, does Xavier then link up with Alyssa too much? So that's something to worry about. But I would say, you know, essentially take one person from each team. Brittany from the Jokers would be my first priority after the events of the day. Then Whitney and Alyssa, or Whitney and Christian, I think would be what I would want to go for.
Now, all of this is under the assumption that the queens as a trio really do want to work together and go far together. Do you have anything else to add before can we segue into the Claire camera talk, or did you have anything to say that?
So just briefly, Claire goes off for a second. Tiffany talks to the cameras and has a sort of gives her own take on this sort of logical versus emotional stance. She says, some of these people in this game, they're playing Big Brother, Big Sister, Big Care-a-Lot. But this is a game. And you know what? Maybe I'm hard. But you know what, America? I've been through a lot in my life. I'm here to play a game. And it's all right. It's all right. I'll figure it out. Don't worry about me.
Okay. Well, maybe she'll start thinking about it and start trying to add that emotional element. But yeah. I don't know.
So then Kylan comes in and they talk about the queens. All three of them talk about wanting to bring Hannah in because they really like Hannah. They think that the jokers are going to be bitter jurors. All three of them, Brittany, Azza, Big D. That's concerning. And it is concerning. Like if not for the cookout, I would genuinely say take out all three jokers first because they're completely right. I think given the response today, you have to be worried about their jury votes. They say all three of them drank the Frenchie Kool-Aid. Like, this is not great. So Kylan jumps off of that to say Brittany should go. I think he's right. Claire and Tiffany still think that Whitney should go. And they agree that both of them need to go. And that as long as a king or a queen win HOH next week, they'll be good. They will not throw to an ace or a joker, only to the kings or one of themselves.
I like the thought of bringing Hannah in with them. Especially since Hannah talked earlier today about wanting to protect Tiffany and Claire and feeling good about them as well. So it seems like a reciprocal relationship there. So my main concern here is with Claire, and she's going to talk to the camera and give some of her thoughts. And I guess I wonder how much of the conversations that the queens are coming up with about what would be best for them as a group actually benefit Claire as an individual. I think like in the short term, some of it does, but I'm thinking more like long-term end game here. Because I know that it's only week three, but I'm starting to worry about Claire as an individual having, as much like end game power and persuasion. And I love the cookout and I want the cookout to work. And I also love Claire individually as a player. Both can't win. So I'm curious to know if there's anything that you think Claire could do individually to help herself in this game, or if it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's a lost cause, but if you have Claire stick it out with Kylan and Tiffany, I think Kylan and Tiffany are going to do better and have more connections than Claire does. And yeah. So I think really this is like it's so early to say this, like when you have Claire and Derek X and even Sarah Beth to some extent, like, I really like their alliance with Kylan and Tiffany and Xavier. And I kind of wish that was the main like group. I see so many benefits in the cookout as well, though. So it's so tricky to think about this, because it's like you as a fan, you want like all of your favorite players in the house to join up and be in one alliance and go to the end and stick it out against each other. And at that point, I don't really care who would win. So I'm having all these conflicting ideas because I want it to be like very understood that outside of just the fact that the cookout, like as a unique alliance in the whole scope of Big Brother and Derek F especially is going to talk a lot about how like with the new like BIPOC initiatives and having that 50%, he's thinking like, this is our only chance to kind of have an alliance and potentially get all people of color to the end, because like next time, you know, season 24, they would know that this is a potential possibility. And I think this is all a little bit like, I don't think that nobody has ever looked at a group of white people and been like, oh, it's the white person alliance. So I think that that's like kind of bad to look at it that way. I know I'm kind of rambling, but I'm trying to get my thoughts out here exactly of like how I feel about all this, because I want the cookout to succeed, not just for that reason, but also because I like a lot of the people in the cookout as well. But I also like Claire and I also like Derek X and I also like Sarah Beth. So I don't know. I don't know exactly where I stand on all of this.
I mean, I think that there are a lot of people to root for on this cast for sure. And I quite frankly, I think the cookout is going to succeed.
Yes.
You know, regardless of Azza and Big D, I think that they are going to make it to jury. And I think that you know, I've said this for a little while now. I think that somebody in the cookout is very likely to win this game. And I think that it's full of very strong players. And I think that two of the strongest players in the game, in Kyland and Tiffany, are in that alliance. Will they function cohesively as an alliance to get there? I don't think so. But that's not really what it's about, at the moment. When it comes to Claire, she's going to talk to the cameras. And she says she does want Whitney to go next. She says she wants to work with Hannah. She thinks that Azza is really shooting herself in the foot, which is very, very unfortunate. She says, I'm a bad actor. I'm just not good at this. She says, I don't trust Kyland. She says, Kyland is the best player in this house by far, and I do not trust him. She says, I love Tiffany, and I'm going to ride to the end with her, but I also know I'm going to lose to her in the end. I would never take a swing at her, though. And so she's just going to continue to act goofy and throw things until about halfway through, when she's going to try and flip the perception of her in the game to being more competitive, intelligent, and stuff like that. But she recognizes that her biggest weakness is fitting in. She's in a cast of very charismatic, social people, and she's having trouble. And I love that she recognizes this, because I completely agree. This is not just her biggest weakness, but a massive weakness in her game. And it speaks to what you were talking about, Mary, because we have seen, even just over the course of today, Claire struggles to connect with people. She's connected with some people, like Derek X, to a degree. She's connected with Kyland and with Tiffany. She connects with people. She's able to talk to them, but she's not able to like really get in with them. People like Whitney, who's somebody that she, you know, Whitney doesn't really have many people in this game right now. She wants to work with women. That's a great opportunity for Claire, but she's barely gotten through to Whitney, and Whitney has not trusted her for a while because she's just not gotten a great vibe. She felt like the information was leaked. You know, she's starting to bond with Hannah. She's starting to bond with some other people, but Hannah has other people now. She's, you know, talked to Tiffany a lot. She's in the cookout. She's talking to Derek X a lot. Claire is nobody's first priority except for Tiffany. And even Tiffany has plenty of options. And that is a huge weakness in her game. And it's not something that can necessarily be overcome. You know, at the end of the day, she is competing against Tiffany, Kyland, Derek X, like a lot of really great social players. And if she just doesn't have it, then that's going to be something that she contends with. So I think she's basically got her plan as good as it gets right now. Unless she's able to turn it around socially and just get better at bonding with people, which is kind of hard to do, like just magically get better at it. I would love to see her try harder. But at the end of the day, sometimes you just can't do it. And if that's the case, then I look at the Steve Moses approach. Steve knew he was not good socially. He was also a massive fan of the game, very smart. And he recognized, these are my strengths, these are my weaknesses, and I have to play a game that aligns with who I am. And I think that Claire is basically doing that. I think that she just needs to get close to the end with a bunch of people that still want to keep her around. And then she needs to win a couple competitions. She needs to make some good logical arguments to some of the players left. You know, this is a cast of people who I think will be open to changing their minds toward the end of the game instead of being locked into a specific plan, because they're all thinkers. And so if she can appeal to that toward the end of the game, she can maybe make a couple of key shifts, win a few competitions, and I think that's her path to the win. It's not a great path, but she's in a tough field, and she has some key weaknesses that are preventing her from really being a power player right now. So I think that's what she's thinking, and I think that's probably what she should be doing.
And I think when it comes down to it, like regardless of anything else, it's the fact that there is an alliance that Claire is not in. And it doesn't really matter the makeup of that alliance. It's just the fact that she's not in it. And so if that alliance sticks together and she makes it far to the end and that alliance is on the jury, she might not get the vote too either. Like it's going to depend.
Well, and that's, you know,
that's part how of the, most seasons work.
Yeah. That's part of the trouble of like the fact that she's not really the decision maker in this pre-jury phase. The people that are the decision makers right now, the people with the most amount of power, are stacking the jury in their own favor. And that's going to be something that's really hard to overcome once she gets there and turns it around. And that's one of the reasons why I'm not super fond of this, you know, more lying low style. But again, if she's not really capable of making those connections socially and being more of a power player, then there's only so much you can do. And I think she has to play to her strengths.
Yeah. And I think the only reason that this is even really getting brought up is just because we know that Claire is like a super fan as well. That's like trying hard and has some skill at this game. So, you know, it's hard when you want to root for everybody. But all in all, I'm still really excited to see what happens, you know, in the short term and in the long term for this game. I'm very excited. I really like even the people who I don't think are playing well in the cast, I pretty much like everybody who's still in the game and like something about either their personality or the way they're attempting things, whether it be for strategic or just for entertainment purposes.
Yeah. I mean, I will say again, you know, I think I kind of said this last season because I did enjoy last season more than I think most people did, but the current week is set in stone for the most part, but there is so much game being played for future weeks right now that I'm finding it very fascinating, very interesting. And there are so many different people vying for power and vying for their own thing. And additionally, you know, the people that are in power are changing their minds and not sure where to go because they're not quite as sure of their own path. So it's a very interesting thing to watch, and I'm you know, it's a lot of fun.
And something that I'm really enjoying about this season that seems to be kind of unique is that there are so many people really early on, as early as week 1, 2, 3, thinking about, and like Claire saying it in this camera talk, like thinking about how can I potentially win at the end? How can I potentially advance myself and get power next week and et cetera, et cetera. And I'm so used to seeing the majority of the house be like, oh, well, it's fine to be whatever position in the alliance. I'm just glad to be in alliance and I hope I get carried and I want to lay low and not do anything. And I'm glad that we're seeing people actively wanting to play and advance themselves. And that's why the people who aren't doing that, namely Brittany and potentially Azza here and, you know, Brent, who's like still saying things at least before this week about like throwing competitions and stuff. That's why those are the people who are down lower and the ones being listed as targets, Alyssa, Whitney, to some extent. So it's really fun watching people try. Isn't that, wow, it's amazing what people trying to win will do for entertainment.
Yeah. And a cast full of players that are trying, who know the game and are good at it. And
I know.
It's diverse. It's
wow, it's so crazy.
Having fun.
That
here
is what is making this game more interesting, huh? Wow. It's almost like nobody thought of that for the last like 20 years.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's what we have for you, unless there's anything else that you wanted to bring up, Mary.
I like when Hannah told Brent that he's going to get a lot of airtime, at least, for being on the block. And he says that he's probably already gotten a lot of airtime. I mean, he's like not wrong, but it's also,
yeah,
funny.
It's one of those things where like he should be wrong.
He should be wrong. He's not, but he should be. So I, like I said, you know, hey, we would all love Brent's confidence.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you guys. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Definitely a long one. I expect if they continue to play out Fridays like this, where they're doing everything on Friday, then we'll probably have some long Saturday updates. But for now, that's what we have. The veto will be played sometime today, and I'll talk about it tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens with it. And, you know, theoretically, Brent could win, and that could really spiral some things out into different directions. Or he could not win, and then we'll have our week set. But again, things will be talked about for future weeks. So tune in for that. And then on Sunday, we will have an episode recap. I'll also be live on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong to watch the episode live with you guys. I'll also do my best to go live and stream just to hang out with you guys, answer some questions, stuff like that. I did do a Q&A podcast with Rob yesterday for the patrons of Rob as a Podcast. Very fun. I really have been enjoying those. We get some great questions and really go in depth about different strategy ideas and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of fun. Make sure you're a patron of Rob as a Podcast and check those out. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Mary, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary and just check out what I'm doing there. It's all mostly check Twitter if you want to know what I'm up to.
All right. Thank you guys again for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.